So shall we start? The protean images of the world force have drawn the strength to be, the will to last, from a deep ocean of dynamic peace. This is the play of the life. The world of life is force. The force has a continuous manifestation on the basis of calm. Otherwise there won't be any manifestation. There has to be consciousness which can sustain the force. Otherwise there will be no play of force, there will only be chaos. Wherever there is a sustained play of energy, that has to be alongside a conscious force, a consciousness of the spirit that upholds the energy. And that is why the image on the one hand of the Lord that is silent, still, and the dance of the universal creative mother who plays, who rises, who breaks, who makes, who shapes. So, from a deep ocean of dynamic peace that is the basis, the foundation of all creation, comes out of peace. You get the image of the sleeping Lord at the very core of things, out of which the power of manifestation has emerged. Brahma is born. He emerges out of the body of the Lord, the supreme, silent, you can say sleeping, not sleeping really, but quiet, unmoving force. Inverting the spirit's apex towards life, she spends the plastic liberties of the one to act, to cast in acts the dreams of her caprice. So having that spirit, that consciousness, inverting it towards life. The consciousness evolves, rises, and the energy takes that up as if in her hand, and she spends this energy in all kinds of different movements. That is why life is so multiple, so diverse in all her activities. All of it is sustained by a consciousness. Otherwise there could be no sustained expression. There is a continuity, there is a kind of a hidden logic even behind each thing. One thing follows another, as if she decides, she plans it all out. She moves in many directions, but the consciousness is forever there. His wisdom's call steadies her careless feet there. It is as if she is playing, life force is playing, energy is playing, but consciousness is holding it up. That is why we have a body. That body has life. But this life is as if sustained by a consciousness. It is not random. Every particle in our bodily life has its own plan, has its own way of being, follows its own line of manifestation. So on the one hand, there is this stability, quietness. On the other hand, the dynamic aspect. To cast in acts the dreams of her caprice. Because caprice is always changeable. You cannot foretell from before, today was like this, today I'm alive, so tomorrow I'll be alive. No, tomorrow I may not be. She plays around with the life force in her hands. Sometimes she makes, sometimes she breaks, because caprice is something that is very, very changeable. His wisdom's call steadies her careless feet. It is as if she runs in all directions, but he is holding her. So you have the Lord, the image of Shiva lying quietly and Shakti dancing on his breast.
Kali.
Destructive maybe, Shakti, Kali, Durga, whatever aspect of the play of energy. His timeless, still immutability. So he is absolutely eternal, permanent. In this world of change, the spirit is permanent. All things outwardly change. His timeless, still immutability. He, the consciousness, is immutable, unchanging. Must standardize her creation's miracle. On the one hand, there is the continuous play, which is truly miraculous. If we look at the play of life, it has emerged out of lifelessness. The original world of matter at some point gave rise to life. So it is a miracle that everything happens in a manner which we do not know how to foretell. We don't. It is not under our control. There is some consciousness that is controlling. All things take their own forms at their own time, as if there is a conscious plan that is being worked out by the play of forces. Life energy is force. What this force is being as if held. So you get the image of the horse. The horse is energy, but the horse has reins. There is something that is controlling the horses. Out of the void's unseeing energies, inventing the scene of a concrete universe. This is the beginning. Out of nothingness, apparent nothingness, which is before matter. What was there before matter? There was simply the play of energy that was moving in a kind of a circular manner. This circular manner slowly crystallized. It became a crust. That is the beginning of matter. Before matter, there was no fixed form. There was only energy. Like energy, there's moving in the void. Something settled in that void because it was moving in the same circle, like a crust that forms. Even now, matter is a crust. If you dig deep into the world of matter, you still find fire, energy, heat. It is there. So this is a miracle. Out of apparent nothingness, something comes out. Out of that something which seems lifeless, life emerges. So that life must have been hidden in the nothing. Out of that life, slowly, a mind makes its appearance. Mind is hidden in life. Life is hidden in matter. Matter is hidden in the nothing. Nothing, therefore, is the all. All is contained in what seems to be nothing. The gradual, slow emergence of evolutionary manifestation has its origins in what seems to be an absence of manifestation. So the two opposite, they are like two poles that meet. Two opposite poles. So out of the void's unseeing energies, inventing the scene of a concrete universe. By his thought, scene is stage. Often he uses it in the French sense. The universe is a stage. The stage is the field of a play. A play is the working out of a plan. A play is a drama. But the drama works out a plan of the writer. He's trying to express something in his play. So the universe is the play of the divine, who is expressing his plan, his gradual emergence of consciousness in all the multiple worlds that he is slowly building up. Inventing the scene of a concrete universe, this is the material universe, by his thought, she has fixed its spaces. His thought is the spirit's thought. He plans, she does. He works it, it is his conception, her execution. He is, she does. This is the way they complete one another, these two. By his thought, She has fixed its paces. See, they go stage by stage, step by step. In its blind acts, she sees by flashes of his all-knowing light. The stages are worked out by a force that has emerged out of ignorance. So it moves without any kind of purpose. Life doesn't seem to have a purpose. It seems to be a play of ignorance. But it is not. Here and there, now and then, we see something is being worked out through the field of life. Now and then. Life itself doesn't know. We have life. We don't know why we are. We don't know what this life force is doing in our bodies. But it is a force. Now this can be channelized. This can be made receptive. This can be made useful. All these are signs that it can be worked upon by the consciousness. There's an interplay of consciousness and force. So by this thought, by his thought, she has fixed its paces, all the gradations. In its blind acts, she acts by flashes of his all-knowing light. See, the guidance is there. Sometimes she closes her eyes, she can't see the light. Sometimes she opens her eyes, she sees the light, just like us. We close our eyes, we see everything as dark, or we see nothing at all. We open from within, we see there is no darkness at all. It's all up to what we are, how we are receptive. Life can be a receptive instrument of the play of the divine intention. But when it refuses to be receptive, like we refuse to be receptive, we close our minds, we close our eyes, we close our hearts, we see nothing at all. We open ourselves, we see the whole play. The drama is being worked out. It is a universal play. Always this image of the Leela. As if he's playing. At her will, the inscrutable supermind leans down to guide her force that feels but cannot know. And that is here the first time he introduces the word supermind in this canto. Because the supermind isn't, obviously as the name itself says, is not a mental plan. The supermind is a projection of the original Satchitananda. Existence, consciousness, force, and joy. From that state of Satchit-Shakti-Ananda, the supermind is like a projection, of like a ray of light that has come down, and that same light has plunged into the world of mind, then life, then body, and then even below into the deep in conscience. And it is from there that gradually there's a churning, there is a movement, there is an evolution, and there is a slow upheaval and movement upwards. The universe is therefore rising from below upwards. It cannot rise by itself unless there is something that is pushing it upwards. What is pushing it upwards? That supermind. So this is exactly the experience Mother had. She went down into the deepest inconscience and found the seeds of the new world, the new creation, the possibilities of a new manifestation. They are there, they are waiting. It has come down. Only then that can the world go up. I cannot rise unless the urge to rise is there in me. This urge comes from this force that has come down from above into the lower, often dormant, ignorant state in which the average human being is for the most part. So this is why the inscrutable, you cannot really recognize the play of the supermind, because it gets as if hidden in the darkness. The inconscient is the house of the supreme consciousness. It has plunged down. It is from there that the slow emergence of evolution starts. So what is inscrutable cannot be examined, cannot be judged, cannot be... You say, What is it? I can't see the supermind. Of course I can't see the supermind. I don't have the capacity even to see.
To guide the force that feels but cannot move.
Exactly.
So feeling is from the life.
Life. Slowly there is a force. That force is moving, but it doesn't know why it is moving. You have a body that moves, but the body doesn't know why it's supposed to move. Life energy is moving in all things. It is moving in the waters, it is moving in the air, it is moving in living bodies, it is moving in plants, it is moving in all things. What for? It doesn't know that I am moving towards the light. Do I realize when my body is growing and moving and acting that this body, its energy, should be, can be turned towards something more beautiful, more complete? It just moves. It is completely unaware. But slowly, as this supermind becomes more and more active, this body knows that certain movements that it is doing are perhaps wrong. That is where pain comes. That is where error comes. You realize that I'm not on the right path. Something is, when I know that something is hurting, something in me knows what is right. Otherwise it wouldn't hurt. I would accept pain as natural. We don't accept pain as natural. We react. We react saying, this is wrong. That means you know unknowingly what is right. We contain that truth. That is why the darkness hurts. But consciously you do not choose to rise. It is doing its work until a stage comes when you take the charge of your own progress. That is when you become a mental being. You can channelize this energy and direct it towards the goal that you have selected. At her will, the inscrutable supermind leans down to guide her force that feels but cannot know. Its breath of power controls her restless seas. That is it. Life is power, life is energy. Very often, its image is water. Life force is often compared to water, it's compared to wind, air. Neither of these have a clear-cut direction by themselves. So the life force is this word of vayu, or wind, or water. And life obeys the governing idea. Slowly, the mind becomes more and more dominant in the world of life. There is a controlling, conscious channelizing. Life learns to obey. I learn to take charge of my own progress, of my own movement. Progress means moving. The word itself means moving forward. So I have to know in which direction to move in order to progress. How do I know? Inside me the knowledge is there that this is the right direction. The plant doesn't have a mind that interferes. The plant knows it must grow towards the sunlight. It doesn't have any hesitation. Man is not always sure. He's not sure he has to grow towards the sunlight. He grows in all kinds of directions. He loses his way. He grows downwards. He goes sideways, in all kinds of complicated means of movement. And then he doesn't even realize that there is one right way. He has tried out all different movements. The plant never has these hesitations. It knows I have to move towards the sun. Without it, I cannot survive. It doesn't seem to have a whole lot of choices. So its life is simpler, happier, but it is not in charge of its choice. Man is given a mind. Mind is given certain choices. These choices give us the possibility of rising above the present. These same choices give us the possibility of error. And then when we make a mistake, we fall. And then when we fall, we get hurt. Then the realization comes, that was wrong, what I did. I got hurt. So I participate in my own growth. Consciously, I come in charge of my own evolution. This is what is special to man. Man can take charge of his own conscious evolution. And life obeys the governing idea. At her will, led by a luminous immanence, the presence, the divine presence is hidden inside. That is immanence. The hazardous experimenting mind pushes its way through obscure possibles. That is exactly what we were talking about. The mind starts working. The mind likes... It is an instrument of light, true. But it is a small, sometimes defective instrument. It sees half light. It cannot see the light by itself. Mind cannot understand light unless it sees darkness. With the mind, you cannot understand truth unless you know what is falsehood. It goes by, it always goes by two natures, right versus wrong, good versus bad, truth versus falsehood. It is not a direct, absolute certitude of this is the truth, this is the right. That is not mind. But with the help of mind, there is always the field of choices opening. I said, this is the right thing to do, that's the wrong thing to do. And that is where you might mistake the wrong to be the right. Because it's often easier, it's more attractive. Until you realize, perhaps I did not make the right choice. And that is, in the long run, very helpful because it helps me realize.
From the mind, how can we be sure that...
You can never be sure. You have to understand by trial and error. That is the field of mind. It has no... This is one thing mind cannot do, you know. It cannot experience. Mind can judge, analyze, classify. You can make all kinds of experimentations. But experience, your body can experience. Your heart can experience. Your spirit can experience. Mind has no experience. That is the whole thing. Mind can try to explain the experience. It will give its own analysis, which will be according to the capacity of your mind. If your mind is small, your analysis is small, as it often is. If my understanding is small, whatever I understand, I reduce the truth to the size of my mind. Instead of widening my mind, I bring the truth to the size of my little mind. And all this is put in one formula. And then one day, if I have, through my own self-development, learned to expand my mind, then I begin to realize there are many things that I left out that I couldn't understand. They are also within the field of light. There are also truths that belong to the field of truth, which earlier I never understood, because man is a progressive being, mind is a progressive element, but it cannot experience, it cannot feel, it cannot live the truth. Your body can. That is the greatness. Your heart can. Your spirit can, your mind cannot. It doesn't have experience. And the only thing mind really wants is certitude. One thing it doesn't have is certitude. It's never sure. Maybe it is this, maybe it is that. Let's try this, this is perhaps right. Then, no, maybe it was the wrong choice. You learn the hard way. You suffer, you lose, you fail, you fall. That's what gives variety to life, the human mental life. Man's life is very varied, very complex, and very interesting in a way also. So these are pushing its way through obscure possibles, mid chance formations of an unknowing world, because the world itself of matter did not know that it is creating a world. The energy that is at work is the energy of unconsciousness. At its origin, it is a dark energy that slowly becomes less dark, takes a shape, becomes you might say, organized. Matter is highly organized. Every molecule, every element is in its place. Every atom, every planet is in its place. It knows what it is doing without knowing. So there's something that is at work. Some organization takes place. It is never no disorder in the world of matter. It's only in the world of life that there is disorder. In the world of mind, we try not to have disorder. In the world of body, in the world of matter, there is no disorder. It's in the world of the vital that disorder comes, because the vital is really the tool of the ego. More than anything else, the ego takes over and chooses and decides and like with likes, dislikes. I like this, this is right. Because I like it, it has to be right. I don't like it, it is bad. I have no notion of what is right and what is bad, what is good. But what I like is good, what I don't like is not good. That is the nature of the vital. It has no governing control. But slowly through all this, you see, he's showing how gradually the consciousness is emerging, the transformations of an unknowing world. Our human ignorance moves towards the truth. That nescience may become omniscient. That is the whole plan. Out of nescience, complete ignorance, slowly emerging towards consciousness, light, truth, the absolute reality. Transmuted instincts shape to divine thoughts. Sometimes we deceive. The mind becomes a receptor. We receive a flash. Actually, instinct. Instinct is an ingrained intuition. Instinctively, you know. Instinctively, there is a certain knowledge which is not taught. Instinctively, the child knows, luckily, because he doesn't yet have a mind that is so active. At a certain stage, he doesn't crawl anymore, he has to stand. And he will walk. He will fall hundreds of times. But the instinct of movement, life is movement, life is progress. And that child who was crawling, now stands, now runs, now grows. It is the knowledge that is in the body. It's a direct knowledge that has come, which is not interfered on by the mind. If the mind were active in the little child, the baby would say, I have never stood before, I can't stand. I've never done it before, how could I? I've never walked, how can I walk? Fortunately, this we do not have. The body has a knowledge which is not that of the mind. This is instinct. It's a direct intuition. It is working in the field of absolute unconsciousness, but it is an absolute, direct, luminous intuition. The whole universe is based on this. The baby knows how to stand, or learns how to stand. The child, the plant knows how to grow. Everything follows a certain pattern, where as if some knowledge of light, of truth, of progress, of growth has been planted within the darkness. The mind has not anything to do with all these things. The moment our minds become very active, which is one of the problems of education. Education is supposed to develop the mind. Education is supposed to develop our knowledge. Education often interferes with the growth of light in the being. We do not permit the mind to know the light, because it is always busy trying to say, perhaps this is right, perhaps that is right. No, the opposite is no. It was better before. It was not so nice now. All these things come in the way, which is why after moving 3 steps forward, we come back 5 steps. We stay more or less where we are. Humanity has not changed much. This is the problem of the mental age. Mind teaches many things, mind hampers. life, if it allows that force of the divine push, which is the instinct, life can grow much faster. So transmuted instincts shape to divine thoughts. Thoughts house infallible immortal sight. Instead of thinking, you have sight. Not thinking, seeing. Seeing is knowing. Living is knowing. Experience is knowing. Not thinking. Thinking is unsure, unsteady. Thoughts house infallible immortal sight and nature climb towards God's identity. That is the final stage. From below, gradually, it becomes a manifestation of the origin from which it came. We are all expressions of that nature. We are all projections of that original divine creator. We have to climb back to where we came from. This is like going back home. The divine was our origin, the divine is our goal. The master of the worlds, self-made her slave. But in the middle you have this play. The master, the creator, accepted to be at the mercy of the life energy. So for a long time, it is as if she decides. She is capricious. She is willful. She is whimsical. He uses all these images. That is the use of the feminine aspect. The master of the worlds, self-made her slave, is the executor of her fantasies. She has canalized the seas of omnipotence. To canalize a sea is not easy. All might, all power, all knowledge, mind has tried to put in a particular direction of its own, what it believes to be right. That is where we have philosophies, religions, all moral laws. We decide these are the better things, these are the line to follow, this is the path that will lead me to my final goal, my final destination. Actually, the whole universe is she. Every experience can become a connection with the divine origin. The smallest experience can become, when you touch even a little stone glistening in the early morning sunlight, you see the play of that supreme light falling on a dull stone, and it shines with the light. And you see, if this can reflect so much light, why can't I? In me there is so much darkness. What is interfering with the light?
Here, her is the universe.
Huh?
Her fantasies.
Yes. She is the force, isn't it? She is the play of force. This is the interplay of the world of the force, of manifestation, and the world of the creative consciousness that is at the source, as the origin of the play. So she has canalized the seas of omnipotence, which is not easy. She has limited by her laws the illimitable. This is what we do. Our philosophies are that. All our scriptures are that. Each one says, this is the right thing, this is the right book. Read this shastra, read this book. That will give you liberation, that will give you freedom from ignorance. And he allows it. There are long ages in the life, in the world of life, in the life of earthly existence, where these dominate. He allows it. The immortal bound himself to do her works. He labors at the tasks of her ignorance sets, hidden in the cape of our mortality. That is what we are. Within us, the divine is working, hidden in the clothing, in the coat of our dark outer layer of pride, ignorance, error, death. Something is working. We do not know. We always have to dig deeper. You know that line in Sri Aurobindo, dig deeper, deeper yet. You have to keep on digging deeper, deeper to find that truth that is at work beneath all things. The worlds, the forms her goddess fancy makes, it is as if she thinks, I keep on changing the world. There are many pralayas. The worlds are made, the worlds are shattered, all things made is unmade. There are creations, there are uncreations. Fancy makes have lost their origin on unseen heights. We have forgotten that our origin is the supreme highest world. Even severed, straying from their timeless source, even deformed, obscure, accursed and fallen, since even fall has its perverted joy, very much so. There is a joy we often take in pain. We take pride in suffering and say, nobody has suffered as much as I have. There is a certain sense of being special. And nothing she leaves out that serves delight. Everything is part of the delight of experience. These two can to the peaks revert or here cut out the sentence of the spirit's fall. Here slowly we come out of the sentence is like a punishment. The spirit has accepted to be plunged in darkness, but this spirit that has fallen, which is us, our soul, our spirit, which we are completely ignorant of. We have no connection with the soul for the most part. There is a soul in all. Most don't know it. Most follow their vital desires and can try to explain it or justify it with the help of their little minds. That's all. In all this, the soul stays in the background because it is not turned to, it is not wanted, it is not, its help is not asked. It will not come forward to say, listen to me, I know the truth. You are following the wrong path. It does not do that. It allows man to wander away from the light. He moves away here and there, making all kinds of decisions and being so pleased with ourselves so that it gives us a chance to develop all our pride, all our sense of superiority, until there is a kind of a great, it bursts and the whole thing falls. And we come back to square one. So that until we have to go back to that origin from which, without which we cannot live. So these two can to the peaks revert. You can go back to the origin by sadhana, by tapasya, by effort. Or here, cut out the sentence of the spirit's fall, recover their forfeited divinity. To forfeit is when you have lost the right to claim something. You say you are divine, you have no right to say you are divine. You have lost the right to say it because you have no knowledge of what is the divine. You have no connection with that source. What we call ourselves is that surface individual, which you may call it your soul, but it is actually your ego. That is why there is the surface soul and there is the deeper soul. The surface soul takes charge, makes decisions. The inner soul stays in the background because we don't turn to it. We don't even know it's there. It will not push its way forward. It will not demand. Until you have worked out all the possibilities on the surface, you've tried this, you've tried that, you have failed, you will fail. And only then you turn within. When all the rest is gone, then you turn within. Until then, which may be much, much later, the soul waits. It is eternal. It can wait for all eternity. She's not in a hurry. It will wait as long as it needs, as long as we need to grow, to change, to evolve. It will wait. There is no immediate push. The human ambition, because pride and ambition go together very often, no, I will become a realized being in this life. Many have tried. As if in a short, limited, you set a certain time frame within this, I will achieve this, I will do this, I will do that. That is what takes us away from the truth completely. If we only knew that we have to allow that to take charge, that inner presence will take charge, has its own rhythm, has its own time. We allow to be led forward by that force. We don't lead. We don't lead our lives. Our lives are led. We think I'm leading my life and my life is led. Led by I don't know who, by something. Often it is desire, but it is not necessarily only desire. So we can go back to that origin. And then we can recover their forfeited divinity. At once caught, all this is experienced by Ashwapati. He sees this play of this world, so complex, so varied. At once caught in an eternal vision sweep, because his vision was the one, if you remember book one, The Spirit's Freedom and Greatness. He saw with the totality of the experience of the divine, he saw what is this role of this world of life. He was not swept away by it. At once caught in an eternal vision sweep, he saw her pride and splendor of high-born zones and her regions crouching in the nether deeps. He saw the ambition, the pride, which is often at the source of so much human achievement. He also saw the ugliness, the perversity, the wickedness that is also hidden in the world of life. Above was a monarchy of unfallen self. Self is the consciousness, the supreme ruler. Beneath was the gloomy trance of the abyss. So this is the plan. High above is the domain of light, deep below the domain where there is a turning back from the light, and that is the abyss. An opposite pole or dim antipodes. You know what is antipodes? No? Antipodes, you know the earth is a ball, isn't it? So you put, if you put a stick through one part of the earth, it will come out the other side. Those two points are antipodes. They are not just opposites, they are also complementary. They complete one another. Any point on the earth has its absolute counterpart. And anything has its own counterpart. Okay, you stop there.